I'm here at the Labour Party conference with one of Sky's political correspondents, Lewis Goodall, who's going to have a little look at maybe some of the stuff at conference you might have not seen on the news today. So, Lewis, Sadiq Khan had a nice message for some emergency services to start with.
Yes, he did. I mean, of course, this is a speech that we weren't particularly sure whether or not he was actually going to give, because there was a lot of debate as to whether Sadiq Khan should be allowed to speak, because Jeremy Corbyn wanted to hear from more members rather than the party bigwigs. Some of his colleagues, like Andy Burnham and other mayors, weren't allowed to speak, but Sadiq managed to get to the platform, and as you say, quite a somber speech actually, about praising the emergency services. Obviously, over the last year since he's been mayor, London has had to deal with a number of terrorist attacks. He did also have some rather choice words for Theresa May, saying that she should be ashamed of her time as Home Secretary, but it was mainly a quite apolitical speech actually, talking about some of his experiences over the last year.
Thanks to our firefighters and control room operators. Thanks to our frontline NHS staff and all those who support them, our paramedics, nurses, doctors and health workers.
And we heard from the Shadow Foreign Secretary, Emily Thornberry, this morning as well. A lot of Brexit mentions in her speech and a little bit of a dig at the Tories as well.
Yeah, of course, the obligatory endless Tory bashing, which is, of course, what you'd expect at a Labour Party conference. Emily Thornberry, I think she feels she's in quite a good position politically. She's someone who had been written off many times, but she allied herself with the Corbyn wave and she's done very well out of it, becoming Shadow Foreign Secretary, and a lot of people fancying her as a potential next Labour leader. Len McCluskey the other day at this very conference saying that he thinks the ex-Labour leader ought to be a woman, name-checking her. Maybe that'll be the kiss of death. I don't like to think of the kiss of death from Len McCluskey, but you get what I mean. But anyway, yes, she had an interesting take on Brexit.
The conference, please, let's all take a second to sympathise with poor old Boris. No, come on, just a second. He's not been happy lately. Apparently, he's sick of being blamed for the way that Brexit is going and all the broken promises of the Leave campaign. I'm sorry, what? You know? I mean, who does he think made all those promises? Who does he think was in charge of the Leave campaign? I know that Boris doesn't like paternity tests, but maybe we need one for Brexit.
And to John McDonnell then, to the Shadow Chancellor, some serious policy announcements from him. Firstly, on PFI, explain this to us.
Well, just first of all, I mean, I think we can all really sort of just cherish this moment when we hear about Emily Thornberry talking about Boris Johnson, a paternity test.
I didn't want to dwell on that, really.
No, I think we probably ought to dwell on it, but if the rumours are anything to be believed, he's had a few in his time. But anyway, yes, John McDonnell, PFI, real crowd pleaser this one on the party conference floor. Just to remind people, PFI is this idea where essentially the government doesn't borrow money and build hospitals and schools directly, but effectively borrows the money from effectively private companies, build them for the government, but then the government does end up paying high rates of interest on those deals. So it's great for governments in the short term because it keeps the borrowing off the public balance sheet, and hey presto voters, look, you've got all of these wonderful schools and hospitals, but on the other hand you do pay through the nose for it in years to come, something that Labour had been against for a long time, despite the fact that Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, or perhaps because of that, Tony Blair and Gordon Brown increased a lot during their time in office. So let's have a listen to him.
We've already pledged that there will be no new PFI deals signed by us in government, but we'll go further. We'll bring existing PFI contracts back in-house. We're bringing them back.
So a policy there from John McDonnell, and as we said, the obligatory Tory bashing.
Yeah, of course. No Shadow Chancellor speech would be complete without it. He sort of built up to this one. You can sort of see a John McDonnell joke coming from a sort of 1,000 miles away, which would be quite appropriate given that it was a space-themed reference from what he said. So, yes, here's a little taste of what he thinks, the sort of time period that most Conservative government ministers come from.
Technological change has accelerated. This year, Chinese scientists use quantum mechanics to teleport data to a satellite. We've beaten that. We can match that. We've beaten it. We have a whole Tory government teleported from the 18th century.
Surely Jacob Rees-Mogg would have enjoyed that greatly.
Now, you just took my joke. He would. I think Jacob Rees-Mogg. I think Jacob Rees-Mogg actually would. I think he might think that a government from the 18th century might be a little bit too modern, if anything. I think probably 17th century, 16th century might be even better. But yes, I don't think he would see that as an insult. I think it would be a great compliment.
And then back to 1945 with Dennis Skinner, where his reference is not quite the 18th century, but still a little while ago. He's been around forever, hasn't he?
Yes, yes, he has. It's a bit like Doctor Who at Labour Party conference today. We've had a full gamut. We've shifted right from the 18th century to 1945. Yes, Dennis Skinner. He was a young boy in 1945. Not quite an MP at that time, although it probably does seem like it. You can't quite imagine his little space, his little perch in the House of Commons without him, can you? But yes, Dennis Skinner, beloved by the left of the Labour Party. There's actually a film screening about his life on in a couple of days' time. If you want to rush down to Brighton and see it. Yes, the Beast of Bolsover was on fine form talking about how he thought that 1945, that great election victory of that year, can continue to inspire the party even in 2017 and beyond.
We have to get rid of those zero-hour contracts. And that's what we have to promise. And if anybody says to you, where's the money coming from, I'll tell you. They used to ask Nye Bevan that when he was building a national health service and building all those council houses and getting rid of the vandalism that had been caused prior to the Second World War. The country was skint. And yet somehow or other, Nye Bevan had an answer. He says, we're going to borrow it.
So an interesting day. Lewis, what's in store for us tomorrow at the Labour Party conference?
Well, everything is obviously building towards Wednesday, really, which is the leader's speech. Tomorrow we're going to hear from a whole host of other shadow cabinet ministers, including Tom Watson, the deputy party leader. Interesting and quite difficult for him, potentially, because, of course, he was so implicated with the attempted coup back last year. He said he's going to give some space to Jeremy Corbyn this week. I don't think he's got much choice, to be quite frank, but it'll be another day. I think what will be really interesting to see is whether any of those issues and those that volatility that started to bubble under the surface yesterday over Europe emerge anymore over the next 24 hours. The Labour leadership definitely want to make sure that it doesn't, so they can preserve this fragile truce and say that this is the most united Labour conference that they've had for some years. I mean, that doesn't really compare for very much when you compare to the other two. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether tonight and tomorrow that continues to bubble away, or whether it manages to disappear, as the Labour leadership would like.